morning, everyone. We're going to make a start to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 110. The hymn number 110 on the page 221. O Love Divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God have died for thee. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The immortal God for me have died. My Lord, my love is crucified. Hymn 110, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Let us just seek the Lord and unite our hearts in prayer. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee the Sabbath morning, and we come to thee in no merit of our own. We confess our unworthiness, O God. We confess our sinfulness, O God, before thee. Lord, thy word tells us that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We confess that in and of ourselves there's nothing to commend the favor of God. Lord, you have told us in thy word that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Yet, O God, we thank thee that we can approach unto thee today, that through one who was without sin, through one who is altogether lovely, through one who was the one of perfect righteousness, thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank thee for the one of whom we have been singing of already this morning. We thank thee that we can say with the hymn writer and sing of Christ, our Lord, who was crucified. And Father, we thank thee that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that he kept the law of God perfectly for us. Thy word tells us he was holy, harmless, undefiled, that he knew no sin, that he did no sin. Yet, O God, we thank thee that he became the sinner's substitute when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, thy word tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We thank thee, O God, that in eternity past thou didst plan that Christ should come and that Christ should die as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And Father, we thank that Christ rose again triumphant the third day, and that he has ascended into heaven on high. And Father, we thank thee that there as our great high priest, he ever lives to intercede and to pray for us. And we thank thee, O God, that the prayers of Christ are effectual. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that the prayers of Christ are always answered. And O God, we thank thee today that we can rejoice in Christ as our Redeemer, who died for us, who rose again, who prays for us. We rejoice in the precious blood that he shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank thee that by his death and sacrifice he purchased for us eternal redemption. We thank thee for the riches of grace that thou hast bestowed upon us and made known unto us through Christ, grace that never fails and grace that saves and grace that keeps. And Father, we rejoice, O God, today in that great blood-bought inheritance, that place in heaven's glory, secure, purchased for us through Christ, the Lamb of God. We thank that Christ could save those who trust him, that I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. O Father, bless our coming together here today in thy house. We return thee thanks for all the temporal mercies and blessings of life to us. Even, Lord, since we've last met in this fashion, we thank thee for health and strength and every good and every perfect gift. We thank thee for freedom and liberty to gather in this fashion. We thank thee today for the privilege of being able to sing thy praises together with thy people, to meet around thy precious word and to proclaim thy word. Oh God, bless us today. Draw near. We pray for a real sense of your presence. We thank thee for all who've been able to come today. Bless every Christian in this meeting. Help us to die more and more to self, to sin. Help us to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Help us, Lord, as your people, to be better Christians day by day in our homes, in our workplaces, in the communities where we live, O God. Help us to shine for thee, to witness for thee, by our words and by our deeds, that by our testimony glory will be brought to thy name, and that others would be pointed to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. Encourage thy people, lead them on with God, and should there be any with us today, maybe walking afar off from thee, Lord, restore such an one unto thyself today, O God. For others that are maybe cast down, going through times of trial and difficulty, Lord, lift them up. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that thou art the lifter up of thy people, and encourage them in the ways of God. And for others maybe needing guidance, show them the way to go. And Father, for any with us today, and Lord, they've never yet come to Christ to trust him for salvation, we pray that even today that they will heed that invitation of Christ when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We thank thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Remember the ministry amongst the boys and girls throughout the week that has gone by, the youth fellowship, the online ministry, the outreach ministry. Bless every aspect of thy work here, we pray. And Lord, use it to the furtherance of thy kingdom, to the glorifying of thy name. We think of those that cannot come today, who are led aside in beds of sickness, those in home, those in residential care, those in hospital today, Draw near to them, minister to them, give help, give healing, give succor, we pray. And for those that have suffered loss, that are grieving today, do comfort their hearts. And Lord, draw very near and fill the vacant chair with the presence and with the nearness of the Lord. O God, we ask. And Father, what we pray for here, we do pray, Lord, for all our sister congregations today, that thou wilt bless each one. Bless every minister, every student and layman who will preach thy word. May the blessing of God be upon them. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed today, across our land, north and south of the border, we think of the mainland of Britain as well. We thank thee for every faithful ambassador for Christ. Build thy church, extend thy kingdom, and turn the hearts of many to thyself in grace and in revival. Father, we pray for our nation today, O God. We ask thee to remember our royal family, our king, and that household. We pray that the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household, and that in those hearts there'll be that turning to the Lord. Lord, you've said in thy word that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whatsoever way thou dost please. We pray for those that would rule over us in our nation also, O Lord. May they realize their responsibility to rule in accordance with thy word. We pray that even the fear of God might descend upon those that are in government, and that they might rule in accordance with thy word and with thy truth. And Lord, those that would seek to promote laws that are contrary to thy word, we pray that thou would spoil their plans, and that thou would ever preserve and protect our gospel heritage in our land and in our nation. We do pray also, Lord, for our security forces, that thou would protect them from the plans and the intents of evil and ungodly men, we pray. And that even there in the rank and file of our security forces and armed forces, we pray that they might turn and seek the Lord in mercy for salvation. Father, we pray today for our missionaries at home and abroad, Lord, that thou would bless them, encourage them greatly in the Lord. And Lord, just use them and bless them and be with them at this time. Abide with us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Take away every distracting thought and care that is not of thee. And may our portion today be like Mary of old, who sat at the feet of the Savior, who heard his word. And Lord, may thy word today be with freshness, with power, with blessing, with challenge to all of our souls. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 401. The hymn number 401 on the page 339. In land or store I may be poor, my place unknown, my name obscure. Of this I have the witness sure, O bless the Lord, I've Jesus. The hymn number 401, the page 339, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. have your Bible with you this morning and ask you please to turn to Genesis chapter 41, beginning a reading there at the verse 1 of that chapter, and then turning also over to Psalm 119, reading some verses there, beginning at the verse number 49. So if you'd like to mark those two passages, first of all, Genesis 41 and then the verse 1, and then turning over to Psalm 119, and reading from verse 49 of that chapter. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Genesis chapter 41 and the verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine. That word kine is an old English word for cattle, for cows. Well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn, the ears of corn there refers to the harvest time. It says 7 ears of corn come up upon one stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 fin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 fin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then turning over to Psalm 149, beginning a reading there at the Psalm 119, beginning a reading at the verse 49. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. The proud have me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Sorrow have taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. Amen. Ending a reading there at verse 56. And may God add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. At this stage of our service, the Sabbath day, I want to welcome everyone in the Lord's great name to God's house. It's good to see all who have gathered with us today, young and old alike. We bid you all a very warm word of welcome in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian today, may you be strengthened, led on with the Lord, your Savior, drawn closer to Him. But if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, our prayer is that even today will be the day of you starting out for heaven and putting your trust in Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. And if you're visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home and know the blessing of the Lord with us around God's Word. To those also who may be viewing online, we welcome you. We thank you for joining with us. And our prayer is the Lord will draw near to you today through His Word, through His truth, and meet you at the point of your need today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30, just at the prayer room at the front there. Encourage as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer. And then the gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others along. Our brother, Mr. Gregory Gibson, will be along to give a word of testimony. He's a third-year student at the Whitfield College of the Bible. Gregory was born into a Roman Catholic home, and then during his student years at university, he came under the sound of the gospel. And praise God, he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, and now preparing for Christian service. And he'll be coming tonight to share with us, to tell what the Lord has done for him, what the Lord means to him. And we do encourage you to remember him. Come along and encourage your brother, pray for him, and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Also, our sister, Mrs. Grace McClintock, will be with us as well to sing for us in the gospel. And there's wee invites there for that meeting. Do take those even as you leave this morning and give them out to family and friends. Tuesday night, 8 p.m. here in the church, a midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We trust as many as possible will gather for the time of prayer and Bible study. I do pray also for the Bethel Children's Crusade meetings this week, 6:30 each night, Tuesday night in Tresna, on Thursday night, McGuire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel. Also on Friday night, 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Just as many as possible will gather for that time of fellowship. And our brother, Mr. Richard Edwards, will be speaking to the young people on Friday night. Also this coming Friday night, 8 p.m., is our monthly presbytery meeting up in our Newton Abbey church. Next Lord's Day, the 4th of December, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., the morning prayer meeting, 11:30 a.m., the morning worship service, 12 noon, we'll belong to bring God's Word. And then immediately after the morning service will be the Lord's Table, the communion service that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, the Lord invites you to remember His death in His own appointed way. Then the evening prayer meeting at 6:30, and then 7 p.m., the gospel service. It will be the annual parents' night for the Bethel Children's Crusade meetings. Throughout the year, the children from the various meetings will be gathering with us. They'll be taking part. And then the guest speaker is Mr. David Cahoon from our Dungannon Church. And we encourage you to pray and do all you can to invite and encourage others in, maybe mums and dads, aunts and uncles, grannies and granddads, whatever, that are associated with the children in our meetings. And just pray that the Lord would bless and undertake on that evening, on that special service next Sunday evening here at 7 p.m. As we mentioned last week, God willing, the Reverend Gordon Cook will be 90 at the beginning of December, and the committee is sending him a wee birthday card. It's out there on the table of the porch, and if you haven't yet signed it and would like to sign that, do put your name on it, as today will be the last Lord's Day that the card will be out there on the table on the porch. The Ladies' Fellowship Christmas dinner, Monday night, the 12th of December at 7 p.m. in the restaurant in Enniskillen March. All ladies are most welcome. And those going, do please put your name on the sheet there as soon as possible. Sister Mrs. Caroline Moore wishes to thank all who responded to the shoebox appeal. And those shoeboxes have now been delivered and will be going out to Eastern Europe for the Christmas season. I want to thank you sincerely for that labour of love. Do please pray for the calendar distribution here around the community. From Monday the 12th to the 16th of December, pray that God will bless the printed page as it would go out with the wee tract and the wee invite also to the carol service. And again, if anyone wishes to help with that around the area here at the church, do let us know and we'll be glad of your help for that. Our annual Christmas carol service, just a date for your diary, will be in the Lord's Day evening, the 18th of December at 7 p.m. So do remember that and do keep that night free and encourage and invite others in under the sound of God's word for that. Then just as a church, we'd like to express today our sincere Christian sympathy to our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, his wife, Olive, and Andrew. Colin's brother passed away on Friday. We do share Colin and all the family of our prayers and our sympathies at this time that they know God's comfort and God's grace at this time of bereavement. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 351. 351, we'll keep our seats for the opening part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering, but the offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that as you leave. It's a wonderful hymn. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And I wonder, as we sing this hymn this morning, can you, yes, say of a truth that it is well with your soul. 351, keeping our seats while we sing. For the remainder of the hymn. And ask you to turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, let us unite, please, in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee for the great hope of the believer, that glorious hope that Christ is coming back again in power and in great glory to gather His people to be with Himself forevermore. And Father, our prayer would be for all in this gathering today, young and old alike, that each one would be ready, waiting and watching and looking for the Savior's return. Remember, Lord, those today especially who mourn. We pray for Brother Colin and Olive and the family. Bless them, and Andrew, encourage them in the Lord at this time. Bless that entire family circle. May it know the comfort and the grace and the presence and the nearness of the Lord. Fill the vacant chair in that family circle with Thy presence. Give help to all in the family circle who know Thee. And for any in the family circle at this time unsaved out of Christ, do speak to them. And even through this passing, even of this loved one, when others too, we pray in the family circle, would be made wise, O God, unto salvation, we pray. Bless us now as we come to Thy precious word. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. Give help and power and enablement and direction from Yourself to preach Thy word. Let the word of the Lord have free course. Let nothing be said that is not of Thee. May every word be as thus and thus saith the Lord, as an ale in a sure place, to the strengthening of the saints in Zion, to the salvation of precious never dying souls, and to the glorifying of Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and ask all these things. Amen. Now, our text of Scripture for today you'll find in verse number 16 of Genesis chapter 41. It says at the end of that verse, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, throughout the Bible, there are many glorious pictures of God's salvation. And one of these great pictures of salvation is found in our Bible reading today. And we see this especially whenever we consider Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. In relation to this interpretation, we see how Joseph, he speaks to Pharaoh. And in our text there in verse number 16 of the chapter, he says, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And that answer of peace that is mentioned there in particular in our text, it reminds us of God's salvation, that salvation of God for poor and needy sinners, even like you and I in our meeting today. This chapter here before us, it tells of Pharaoh, a king of Egypt, having two dreams in one night. The first dream is about seven fat cows and seven thin cows. And we see how the seven thin cows, they come up out of the river Nile and they devour the seven fat cows. But even with this, the lean cows are still weak and they are still sickly. And then the second dream was about seven good years of harvest, and those seven good years were to be followed by seven bad years of harvest. And again, the seven bad years of harvest, they were to devour the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of good harvest. Now we see how these dreams, they greatly troubled the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You see that at the beginning of verse 8 of the chapter. It says, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And we see how Pharaoh then asked all the wise men and all the magicians of Egypt to come and to interpret the meaning of these dreams to him, but alas, they could not. Then the chapter tells us about Pharaoh's butler who was serving the king, and he remembers Joseph who'd been in prison with him, Joseph who'd interpreted both his dream and the dream also of the baker at that particular time when they were down in the dungeon. And upon hearing this, Pharaoh, he sends for Joseph, and he brings him up out of the dungeon, out of the prison, and he tells him about the dreams in his heart. And it is in response to this in our text that Joseph then speaks to Pharaoh. And he says, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God then makes known the meaning of the dreams to Pharaoh through his servant Joseph. And the seven fat cows and the seven good years of harvest, they meant 7 years of great plenty and provision in the land of Egypt. And then we see how the seven thin cows and the seven bad years of harvest, they meant seven terrible years of famine and drought that were to follow the time of plenty in the land of Egypt. And following this interpretation, we see then how Joseph, he speaks to Pharaoh, and he tells Pharaoh to prepare for this famine that was coming upon the land by storing up food and provision during the 7 years of plenty, so that the people would not perish and that the people would live and not die of starvation in the time of famine. And you see that in particular there in verse 36 of the chapter. But Joseph here is speaking to Pharaoh, and he says, "And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, what shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." And we see how Pharaoh, he listens to Joseph. He heeds the advice that Joseph gave him. And following on from that, we see then how Joseph is made prime minister in the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh the king. And thus the people of Egypt, they are saved, they are delivered. They're saved from death and from starvation. And by this was God's answer of peace to Pharaoh. That meant the saving, the deliverance of the nation of Egypt at that particular time. Now we can say this morning that this answer here of God's peace to the saving of Egypt in the day of Joseph is but a reminder, that is but a picture of God's salvation, which means the saving of poor and needy sinners. You see, just as God's answer of peace meant life to Pharaoh and to the people of Egypt in his day and in the day of Joseph and the time of famine, so also the message of God's salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a message that brings peace. It's a message that brings hope. It's a message that brings pardon. It's a message that brings eternal life to a world that is lost and ruined and perishing in its sin. You see, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life," those who believe in Christ and trust in Christ. Thus, for this reason, then, I want us to consider today God's answer of peace to Pharaoh. For in this answer of God's peace to Pharaoh, we see a wonderful picture, yes, of God's so great salvation. First of all, I want you to see here that God's answer of peace, it reminds you and I of the beauty of salvation, reminds us of the beauty of salvation. You look at verse 25 of the chapter, notice what it says there. It says, "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh," the dream of Pharaoh was one, "God have showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." And here you see how God in grace, he warned Pharaoh of what he was going to do, of the coming famine. Note those final words of verse 25. "God have showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." You think about that. And you think of Egypt in the day of Joseph. Egypt was a nation that was undeserving of this warning. Why? Because it was a sinful nation, a very immoral nation, a nation given over to idolatry and all kinds of false religion. Yet in grace, God comes, and he comes, and God warns them of their need to be saved from the judgment of the awful famine that was to ravish the land and come upon the nation. And you know, that reminds you and I, dear people, of the beauty of God's salvation, because God's salvation is a message of grace. You can write the word grace over the entire message of God's salvation. Yes, all mankind by nature are sinners before God. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray.
we have turned everyone to his own way. And because of our sin, we are all deserving of eternal punishment and judgment and hell because of our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. People understand this morning and see this truth that hell is real. It's as real as the very seat you're sitting in this morning. Hell is a real place. It's a literal place. It's a place of literal fire. It's described in the Bible as the lake of fire. And after this life, this is where every sinner will go, body and soul, to be punished for their sins. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Yet in spite of our sin, in spite of us, each one deserving hell, God in grace, he tells us in his word about a way of salvation, a way of deliverance from sin and deliverance from hell. And by that way of salvation is the repentant sinner turning to God in faith, then coming before the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in Christ, trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary for their salvation. You see, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And look with me, please, at the words of verse 18 of the chapter. Notice what you read here about Christ. It says, for Christ also of once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The unjust is us, mankind. The just is Christ. He died the just for the unjust. Notice it, that he might bring us to God, that sinners would be brought to God in salvation. There you see the grace of God in sending his Son, his only begotten Son, the sinless Son of God, to die on the cross. What for? So that sinners like you and I could be brought back to God from the dark paths of our sins. And it's all of the grace of God. The hymn writer could say, saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men, and Jesus died for me. Yes, our text says here, God shall give thee an answer of peace. And it reminds us, yes, of the beauty of salvation, that God's salvation is all of grace. Not only do we see here from our text the beauty of salvation, but in the second place, we see also here that God's answer of peace, it reminds us of the necessity of salvation. You go down to verse 36 there of Genesis chapter 41 and look at what you read in that verse. It says, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land, that the land perish not through the famine. And there you see from those words that God's answer to Pharaoh through Joseph, it was a matter of life and of death. You see, a Pharaoh, if he heeded God's message and he stored the food that was needed for the nation, then the nation would live. The nation would be spared and delivered in the time of famine. But if, on the other hand, he did not listen to God's message, he did not store the necessary food that was required in the famine, then the land and the people would perish. Thus we see here that this matter of preparing for this famine, it was a pressing necessity for Pharaoh. It was, we could say, of the utmost of necessity for Pharaoh at that time. Likewise, also, we can say that the receiving of the message of God's salvation is a message that is of necessity for every single one of us in this gathering today. Yes, it is the message of the gospel that you and I repent of our sins, put our trust in Christ for salvation, that we might be saved from our sins and be taken one day to heaven. And that message is of the utmost necessity for every one of us. It's a message we need to heed. We need to hearken to. We need to respond to. For if we do not heed the message of the gospel and we remain in our sins, when we die, we'll be lost in hell forevermore. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son have life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Man, woman, young person in our meeting today, let me say this. Your greatest need in life, what is it? It is to hearken to the gospel. No greater need in your life than to hearken to the gospel. And for you to repent of your sins before God and put your faith and your trust personally in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And that need is pressed upon your soul throughout the Scriptures, from Genesis right through to Revelation. Think of the words of Christ in Mark's gospel when he says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What was Christ doing there? Pressing upon his hearers the need to heed the gospel, to repent, to trust him as Savior. Think again of his words to the disciples, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How important it is that God comes first in your life, that you repent of your sin, you trust him as your Savior. Oh, think of the words of the apostle in his letter to the Hebrews when he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you neglect salvation, there's no escaping the wrath of God for you. There's no salvation for you. There's no heaven for your soul at the end of life's journey. You know, whenever Pharaoh heard this message, his number one priority, his great necessity was to prepare for this coming famine. Dear friend, today your number one priority in life is to prepare for eternity. You may have prepared for other things in life, but tell me today, have you prepared for eternity? Tell me today, have you trusted Christ to be your Savior? Can you say, yes, preacher, I'm resting in Christ alone for my salvation? Are you prepared for eternity? Are you prepared to die, to leave the scene of time one day? And friend, that time could be nearer than you may think, because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, if you're not yet saved, then, friend, I urge you even today to make the matter of your soul's salvation your number one priority and come to Christ and trust him as your own personal Savior. Do not be like those that the hymn writer describes when he speaks of certain people in their response to the gospel. And he says, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Too busy for Christ. Too busy for the gospel. You may be busy about things in life, but have you made the salvation of your soul your chief business, your number one priority? It was of the utmost necessity that Pharaoh acted there and then upon this message that he received from God. But notice something else, not only the necessity of heeding the gospel and the beauty of the gospel and God's salvation. Notice thirdly, in connection with our text, that God's answer of peace, it reminds us of the certainty of salvation. You look at verse 32 there of Genesis chapter 41 and you'll see this. It says, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. The fact that the famine was coming and the fact that Egypt could be saved by storing up food for 7 years, this was something that was absolutely sure. This was something that was absolutely certain beyond a shadow of a doubt. You turn back over there to verse 56 of the chapter, you'll see that for yourself down at the end of chapter 41, verse 46. It says, and the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. The famine was certain, and the storing up of the food for the deliverance, the salvation of the people was absolutely certain. And in like fashion, God's salvation through His Son is certain. Why? Because it is built upon facts. It is built upon a foundation that is sure, that will stand the test of time and all God's eternity to come. You see, people, it is the greatest fact of history that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and He died upon the cross to make an atonement for our sins. And when we talk about an atonement, we're talking about a covering, a remedy for our sins. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It is also a fact that Christ rose again from the dead the third day, and that proves to you and I, without any shadow of a doubt, that the work of Christ upon the cross is sufficient, it is complete, it is finished, and it is able to save you and I and deliver us from our sins. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And it is a fact, dear friend, that if you repent of your sins and turn in simple childlike faith to Christ and call upon Him for salvation, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, God will save your precious, never-dying soul. This is the glorious fact of the gospel. You turn in your Bible over to Acts chapter 2, and you'll see this for yourself. Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 21. I encourage you to look up this verse and to mark it in your Bible. Here you see the certainty of God's salvation for all who repent and turn and trust in Christ for salvation. Acts 2 verse 21, it says, "And it shall come to pass," certainty, "that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, don't listen to the doubts of the devil. Don't listen to the doubts of the world and false religion. The Bible says, "Whosoever it shall come to pass that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you know, it's an absolute fact, dear friend, that whenever you trust Christ as Savior, that you're sure of heaven, that you're made sure of glory, that your place in heaven has been purchased for you. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 11, "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son." That's a fact. When you trust Christ as Savior, God gives you a home in heaven. That home is purchased by you, for you, by the blood of Christ. No power on earth, no power on hell can rob you of that promise. Whenever D.L. Moody was on his deathbed, he said these words to those gathered around him. He said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens for me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." He knew God was calling him home to heaven, to glory. Why? Because he was saved. His faith was in Christ alone for salvation. Likewise, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, you put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior, and you too will most surely go to heaven one day. Because Christ says these words in John 6, verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Then we can say also in the fourth place, in connection with our text here, that God's answer of peace here, it reminds us of the consolation of salvation. You look again at verse number 16 there of Genesis chapter 41. And it says, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And by Joseph's answer and the interpretation of these dreams, in this time of great trial and great difficulty in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh's fears were quelled. Why? Because he was able to prepare the country for famine. And when the famine came, he was able to calmly direct the people to Joseph for their provision in their time of need. Go down to verse 55 of the chapter, you'll see that. It says, "And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all Egyptians, go unto Joseph,
And what he saith to you, do. My, there was consolation here for Pharaoh. And the people were crying out for hunger and for food. He says, go unto Joseph. And what he saith unto you, do. There was consolation here for Pharaoh and the nation. And praise God, the message of salvation by faith in Christ, it's a message of consolation. No other message like it. It's a message that brings peace and consolation to hearts, to lives that are troubled, that are broken, that are sorrowing, that are grieving over sin. One of the great titles given to Christ in the Bible is the Prince of Peace. In other words, the only source of peace. He's also referred to in Luke's Gospel as the consolation of Israel, the one that brings consolation to troubled hearts. Praise God, dear friend, whenever you trust Christ as Savior, the Lord will pardon, he will forgive all your sins, not only for time, but for all of eternity. Turn in your Bible over to Acts chapter 13. You'll see this for yourself, Acts chapter 13. And verses 38, verses 39, Paul here is preaching in Antioch. Here he is in the midst of a sermon. And he brings this great truth before the people of pardon for their sins through faith in Christ. Verse 38, verse 39, he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man that is Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, in other words, through Christ, all that believe, all who trust him as Savior, are justified, pardoned. Notice it, from all things, from all sins, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And friend, that's your portion in Christ, justified from all things, pardoned of all your sins through Christ. There's also the consolation of peace with God, being reconciled with God. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's also the consolation of the Lord's presence, the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling and abiding in your heart as a believer. The Lord says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's also the consolation of the fetters, the dominion of sin being broken in your life. The Bible says, to those who trust Christ, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Then there's the consolation of God's grace to serve the Lord, grace to live the Christian life, come what may. You remember the Lord's promise to Paul in his time of great need, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul could say to the Corinthian believers, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. Dear friend, these are the blessings of salvation. And they are blessings that money cannot buy. They are blessings that cannot be obtained through anything of this world or man's religion or man's ceremony or man's own self-righteousness. But praise God, these blessings are offered freely to you today in the gospel. God offers them to you, as it were, on a plate. Why? Because Christ has come. Because Christ has died. Christ has shed his blood. He is alive forevermore. Hence he says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, the hymn writer could say of Christ, none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. There's no consolation like God's salvation. Being saved. Being right with God and knowing Christ and trusting Christ as Savior. One final thought in connection with our text today. We see also here that God's answer of peace, it reminds you and I of the urgency of salvation. And you'll see that again if you look at verse 32 of Genesis chapter 41. It says, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Notice those final words there. God will shortly bring it to pass. Pharaoh, he had to prepare quickly, for the famine was coming. He dare not delay. And likewise, friend, God's message of salvation is a message that
must be urgently heeded. That's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. That is why the Bible says, today if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Friend, realize this, that if you put off salvation to another time and you die in your sins, then all hope of salvation will be gone for you and taken from you forever. If you die in your sin, you'll be lost in your sin forevermore. Speaking of those who die in their sin, the Bible says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Friend, do not leave salvation to another time, for you are not guaranteed another time. Another time for you may never come. The only moment that you are guaranteed is now, today, this very moment. Therefore, do not leave your salvation to your deathbed thinking, oh, I'll get saved on my deathbed. You are not guaranteed a deathbed. None of us are guaranteed a deathbed. Anyhow, whenever people come to die, the chief concern is just that of getting another breath and keeping alive, keeping, as it were, in this side of eternity. The Bible says, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says, he that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly, the Bible says, be destroyed. And it says this, and that without remedy. In other words, no hope. When you die in your sin and you leave this world in your sin, there's no hope. Therefore, dear friend, in light of the certainty of death, and death is all around us. We are but a step, the Bible says, between death for you and I. In light of the suddenness of death, you prepare. Pharaoh had to prepare when he heard that message. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. The Lord says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as well. Oh, the gospel, I tell you, is urgent. If you're not saved today, make it your business today. Even now, as you sit in this meeting, as this meeting comes to a close, lift up your heart in prayer to God. Say, God, forgive me for my sins. Save my soul. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take away my sins. And take me to heaven one day. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 246. 246, time is earnest passing by. Death is earnest drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death appeal to thee. 246. We'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Father and our God, write thy word upon our hearts today. Help each and every one of us who are saved to live in the light of eternity. And for any in the meeting today and they're not saved, oh, that today, even now, they would seek Christ, know their sins forgiven, be saved, and be ready for eternity. Take us to our homes now in safety. Bless us throughout today. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one this day and always. Amen.